I want to welcome those on the webcast. Well, today I want to talk about something that's kind of elementary. It's, you might say, a basic doctrine. And I have a tendency to do that because I think those things need to be repeated over and over again. You know, in this life, we have lots of lists that are made, and thank you. I remember when I was in the service, there was one list that every one of us hated with a passion. Really, we hated this list that was made, and it was a list of those on kitchen duty, which we called mess duty. And we hated it because of the hours you had to work. You had to get up about 3 o'clock in the morning and work all day. And by nightfall, you were so tired, you didn't want to do anything but go to sleep. That's all you wanted to do. But there are good lists. Some of you may have heard or watched the movie Schindler's List. That was a good list. And everybody wanted to be on that list because if you were, you know, your life was spared. So to begin my subject, I would like you to turn to Luke 10. And I'm just going to read a few verses there. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them out two by two before his face into every city where he himself was about to go. And then I want to just drop down to page 17, and I'll tell you what happens in between there. He did send the 70 out, and they were astonished at what they could do. And so they came back and they said this to him, reading verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." They were astonished. They were amazed that they had this power. And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking now. So he said to them, I saw Satan fall from the lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents, on scorpions, and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, this is the important part here. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. Really? Our names are written in heaven? Yes, that's true. That's the words of Jesus Christ himself. So there's a list in heaven, and that list is called the Book of Life. So that's my subject today. I want to speak about the Book of Life. And like I said, this probably all of you understand to some extent about the Book of Life, but I want to clear up maybe some spots that you don't know about. My title, some people like a title, is "What is the Book of Life and Who's in It?" What is the Book of Life and who is in it? There's lots of questions, even though the Book of Life is mentioned 10 or 12 times in the scriptures. There's a lot of questions we still have about it. For example, who is included in the book? When are the names entered into the book? Can names be deleted from the book? When did God start recording in this book? And one question, are the Old Testament luminaries in that same book? Those are some of the questions that I'll get to today, hopefully. Speaking of Luke 10, he said to them, "Your names are written in the," to use the terminology, "book of life," written, you know, it's written in heaven. And so, you know, you say, well, how do they qualify? They don't have the Holy Spirit. But anyway, that's a question that we'll answer later. I also want to make a disclaimer of sorts. I don't know everything there is to know about the Book of Life, and I have it on good authority that you don't either. And none of us do, really. It's a little bit mysterious in a way. But, you know, some things God keeps to himself. For example, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of this law." So, you know, God doesn't tell us every little detail about everything. So we all have a few questions, but we know the basics, don't we? We understand the plan of God. So the first question I want to attempt to answer is this. Did the Old Testament patriarchs know about the Book of Life? Well, yes, they did. If you'll turn to Exodus 32, and we'll read a few verses here. Exodus 32, beginning in verse 31. Says, then Moses returned to the, this is the incident where Moses was up on the mountain, and when he receiving the law, and when he returned, lo and behold, they had made a golden calf. So that's where we pick up the story in verse 31. It says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now notice what Moses says now. It says, yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." So that was quite a statement. I don't know that Moses was all that wise in saying that, but he did. And verse 33 says, and the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. In other words, God said, no, I'm not going to blot your name out of the book. And he could have said, the book is too important. You don't know. He could have said, you don't know what you're asking, really, or you don't know what you're saying. So anyway, from this one verse, notice the things we learn about the Book of Life. Number one, Moses knew about the Book of Life. So who taught him? Well, God must have taught him somehow. We don't know when or where, but he knew about it. He didn't say, if there is a Book of Life, would you need to block my name out. He didn't say that. He said, block his name out. We also learned that every mention of the book doesn't use the full name. It's mentioned in several different ways, and we're going to see that as I cover a few scriptures. Number three, Moses knew his name was in it. How did he know? God must have taught him. We don't know how or when, but he knew that his name was there. And number four, he knew it could be blotted out. Again, he learned that from God. And also it shows that it's a very, very important book. And as I said earlier, Moses didn't fully realize what he was offering there, but Moses knew it was a very valuable thing that he could offer to get what he wanted from God. Of course, he didn't get it, but God knows better. The second question I would like to cover is, who is listed in the Book of Life? You know, the Jews understood there was a Book of Life, and as the Old Testament shows in several places. So now I'd like you to turn to Psalm 56. This is one of the places in the Old Testament that the book is mentioned besides Exodus. Psalm 56. And we're going to just read a few verses here. First, I wanted to tell you a little bit about the introduction. The introduction to the psalm says, to the chief musician, set to the silent dove in distant lands, a michkam of David, when the Philistines captured him in Gath. How many of you know what a michkam is? I didn't know either, so I had to find out. And here's the definition of a michkam, if I can find where I wrote that down. It says, a michkam of David. It is a meditation or prayer in the Bible. The word michkam means tablet inscription or stenograph. The root word means to stamp or to grave. In other words, this is a psalm so important that it could be engraved on stone because it's that important. That's what a michkam means. So let's read a few verses here. David writes, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all the day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? And then I think we should drop down to verse 8. It says, you number my wanderings, are they not in your book? Here mentions the Book of Life, and notice it doesn't call it Book of Life. He calls it your book, God's book. He says, are they not in your book? Another thing we learn from here is, not only is his name, is David's name there, but it says, did I skip over that phrase? It says, you number my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Now, I don't think that's a literal statement, but what he means is his troubles are written in this book, apparently, and God has this record, not only of people's names, but what they have experienced and done. So we learned that there's more to the book than just a name. Now, if you'll turn to Psalm 69. And Psalm 69 is a little bit of a controversial psalm. And the verses I want to read is 27 and 28. It says, the iniquity, add iniquity to iniquity, and let them not come into your righteousness. Here David is speaking of his enemies. Let them be blotted out of your book of the living. And so the question is the book of the living the book of life? Because it doesn't say book of life, it says book of the living. Well, all scholars think it should be book of life, because is the same word that's used for life in dozens and dozens of other scriptures. But the caveat is that the Hebrew word for living and the Hebrew word for life is the exact same word. And that's pretty common in Hebrew. But we don't know of any book called the Book of the Living. Does God need a book that tells him who's living? I don't think so. If God can number the stars and call them by name, he doesn't need a book to see who is living. Come on, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, a lot of Bibles translate it living, but it should be life. And the Young's Literal, the Revised, and the official Jewish Bible, the Tanakh, also lists it the Book of Life, and not the Book of Living. The next verse I would like to cover is Malachi 3:16. And I'm going to read three verses here, break into the thought. For those who feared the Lord spoke to, you're probably familiar with this. For those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. How about that? Do you realize that? God hears our words. When we're fellowshipping, he hears our word. He really does. So a book of remembrance is written before him for those who fear the Eternal and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord, on the day I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son. So here we go, another mention of the Book of Life. And it's not called the Book of Life, but a Book of Remembrance. This too shows that there's more in the book than a name. It's undoubtedly a book of our life. And if you read the next chapter in Malachi, you'll see that this is an end time event. So that's when the book is really going to be used. So if you'd like to turn to Daniel 12, it's also mentioned there, the book of life. And I'm just going to read out of my notes. And if you just want to write it down or go there, you can do what you will. Daniel 12, verse 1. At that time, Mitchell shall stand up. And we know at that time is the end time. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and they shall be a time, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to this time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book of life. Often called the book, or your book, or God's book. So we can see that the book of life is mentioned throughout the Bible, from Old Testament to the New. So let's now turn to the New Testament. And there are quite a few references to the book of life. And most of them are in Revelation. One of them is in Philippians 3. This is the only time that Paul mentions the Book of Life. So let's find Philippians. I only use this Bible when I'm preaching, and I have a tough time finding. Books. Anyway, here's what it says. Yes, I ask you also, Paul is speaking to the church at Philippi. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. So there's another, that's the only mention Paul makes of the book of life, is there in Philippians 4 in verse 3. There is a reference in Hebrews 12:23. I'm not going to read that, but you could write that in your notes, Hebrews 12:23, and there it's called, you're registered in heaven. And where are you registered? In the book of life. So now if you turn to Revelation, and we're going to cover some verses there. Revelation 13, verse 8. Revelation 13. No, but I jumped one. I want to cover Revelation 3, 5 first. This one says, The one who conquers will be clothed in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Another mention of the book of life, and we understand that those that are clothed in white garments are there, and you know what that means, a follower of Jesus Christ and God the Father, and one who has been converted. Revelation 13:8. This is speaking about the beast power that's going to arise, which we've talked about several times. And I'm breaking into the thought, through the thought here. It says, and all who dwell on the earth will worship it, that is the beast power. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the book into the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. So that shows that from the beginning, God has been recording in this book. My understanding is from some churches teach that all people are written when they're born into the book of life, and then they're blotted out later. But we don't understand it that way, and that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So now if you go to Revelation 17, verse 8. Revelation 17, 8, again, another verse talking about the beast. Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth whose names have not been written in the book of life. So that's a sort of, you might call a negative comment. There are people who won't have their book written there. And you and I don't want to be one of those. Course. Revelation 20:15. If anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into. I skipped another verse. I want Revelation 20, verse 12. This is the great white throne judgment that we're all familiar with. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were. Books were opened, then another was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. There again, we see that the book of life has more than just names. It is a record of your life. How much of your life? I don't know. Only God knows. God hadn't told me that yet. Revelation 20:15, and this is near the final judgment. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire. And so hopefully none of us will be in that group there. Revelation 21, verse 27. 21:27 says who will be in the book. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those, speaking about the kingdom actually, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. So the Book of Life belongs to Jesus Christ. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. One more verse I want to cover, and this is a little bit of a difficult verse. Revelation 22:19. It's a little bit difficult because it's mistranslated in some Bibles. Revelation 22:19 says, if anyone takes away from the book, from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life in the holy city, which are described in this book. That's the correct translation. The tree of life is the correct translation. But some of you probably have Bibles that say the book of life there, rather than the tree of life. The tree of life is the correct translation. Now you say, oh, we've got a mistake in the Bible. No, we don't have a mistake in the Bible. We do have mistranslations in the Bible at times. If I can find my sheet here, I want to tell you how that got to be that way and why we know it's really the tree of life and not the book of life. So I just pointed that out because some Bibles say book of life and it doesn't say that. It says tree of life. But I'm going to tell you that's a distinction without a difference. It doesn't make any difference, and I'll comment on that. So let me read you a short thing here about how this happened. When Erasmus was copying from Greek into English, he only had 7 manuscripts total, and his manuscript for Revelation did not have the last 6 verses. They were missing. We don't know why, but they were missing. And so what he did when he came to the last 6 verses, he looked at the Catholic Vulgate. He was a Catholic, by the way. And he translated. He knew Latin very well. He knew Latin better than he did Greek, actually. So he translated from Latin into English to get the last 6 verses. Well, here's the problem. In Latin, the word for tree is ligno in our letters. The word for book is libro. So he just misread tree for life, or life for tree, actually, is what he did. And I think he wrote tree, which is correct. No, he originally wrote book, which is incorrect, and it's been corrected now to tree. The reason we know it's tree is because almost all manuscripts now in Greek that are old have tree of life. Now, what difference does it make? None, because who can partake of the tree of life? Those who are in the book. Only those in the book of life will be able to partake of the tree of life. So in a sense, that's why I say it's a distinction without a difference. Well, I see I need to finish up here. So what should we be doing? We should be making sure that our name is in that book of life. And I fully trust that all of your names are there. If you have repented of your sins, if you have been baptized and had hands laid on you, your name should be in the book of life. What is important, though, is that make sure your name never gets blotted out of that book of life. And how do you do that? You continue living God's way, seeking God's will, studying and prayer, church attendance, and all that you should be doing. God needs to be number one in your life. That's the main thing. God should be number one in your life.